When we say something's a labour of love, we usually just mean we're not being paid for it. But for Matt Zerbo, he's just finished a gigantic project, which really has love at the very core of it. He loved his new daughter, Cielo, so much he wanted to give her the world. And for a writer like Matt, well, his world is made of stories. So he's written her a new story every day for a whole year and wrapped it up this week with 365 of them. Matt, you must be exhausted.
Yes, I'm getting used to sleep again.
Did you realise kind of the sheer scope of hard work in front of you when you started this?
Yeah, I probably did. I've been writing and working in the bush long enough. I'm not scared of work. If it was going to be easy, it wouldn't have been a challenge. It wouldn't have been a gift.
Now, how does it feel to have finished?
Strange. I can't explain it more than that. It's you've got 52 other ideas on the go, and you've just got to decide on one. So, but to not have to come home from work exhausted and know that you have to script another kid's book until 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. And do art direction and things for kids who want to draw them and stuff and put it online and stuff is strange. I enjoy the challenge. No bones about it. So time for something new.
Did you ever miss a day and have to catch up and write two stories the next day or three stories the day after that?
No. The challenge was a story a day. When we went to Venezuela to meet my wife's family and introduce Cielo to the in-laws, to the grandparents and uncles and tios and tias, the time went loopy there. That was we had to do a bit of backtracking and correcting just on those stories were published every day, but they came across as different days. That took a bit of juggling. But
were you writing on planes on a tablet while she was asleep?
Planes, airport floors when we had to spend the night, and then we got to Venezuela and there's a beautiful little villa out the back of the house, and just wherever and anywhere you could.
Now what was the hardest story to write?
Hardest story to write would have been none, really. That's what I do. Hardest story is a good question. Maybe the last one. Have to nail the last one right, because by then, lucky enough to New York Times discovered it and it went viral and got beautiful letters from Bangladesh, Croatia, everywhere, Guatemala, absolutely everywhere. And so by the time it went from being a labour of love to just a bit of pressure on the last one, had to nail that one right.
Look, you did. I cried on the last one. I teared up. I was sitting here in the office trying not to tear up, and I read the last one, which is really a poem about the entire process that you've been through and how you want to give her everything. I'm tearing up now.
Nice one.
How did you feel writing it?
I just had, obviously, it was just an ode to what I want to give my little girl. And I just had the last line and built it around that. I was thinking about all the things I could give her, but at the same time, they've got to be their own child and person. So I said, I just kept on thinking, if I could, I'd give you the world, but it's already yours.
Now, Cielo is still a tiny tot. Do you read the stories to her?
Way too young. I've tried. She wants to eat the pages and poke at the computer and sing a Harry Belafonte song.
Harry Belafonte songs are you playing for your daughter?
Jump in the line, everybody in time. Oh yeah. Any and every of them, and or one of the one of the Venezuelan songs from the plains. Yeah, La Vaca. Just love singing. We've got a few Aussie ones too. Barramundi. She just loves singing. But the thing is, the stories will be there for her. They're for all ages, from her age through to tweens. There's poetic, there's funny, there's stupid, there's educational, and hopefully she'll just be able to dip into them like a box of chocolates as she grows older. And other kids will. I did it to maybe, hopefully even the smallest bit, get kids into loving stories and being more open-minded for that, making a better world.
And look, if you love stories, then you learn to love reading. And if you love reading, then so much of your schooling and the rest of your life just flows, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's the whole just an open mind, just a creative mind's an open mind. Ignorance and violence is, I think, is trumped by imagination. And the more imagination we can inspire, the better, because that's all stories are, is imagination. Yeah.
So what is your next literary project? Are you going to drop the keyboard altogether for a bit, or are you back at it immediately as the, you know, the old hand at writing that you are?
No, I've had my 2 days off, and and as I said, I've got an agent now. And as I said to her last night, I've got about, probably realistically, about 13 ideas in my head, and I'll do what I always do. I'll sit down at the computer and see which one finds its way to my fingers first, and that'll be my next 6 months.
Now, what are you thinking? Are you thinking fiction? Because, I mean, your last work was, your last major published work was non-fiction. You did a book about stories of football, because, you're a very experienced AFL player.
Heart and soul, clocked up 650 games of senior and reserves games this year. 37th season, God help us all. I think the challenge and the footy go hand, just stupid and stubborn. The footy book was a joy. We had a beautiful book launch at Percy's on the mainland with great football names like Francis Burke and Ken Fraser, and great characters. Lazar Vidovic was there, Nicky Wimar. It was a real treasure trove of different types of people and types of footballers. It was a joy. Look, I've got options. Who knows? As I said, when I sit down, another novel, a film script, more kids' books, a series of kids' books, music. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
It's the joy of having a day job, isn't it? It makes you free to write whatever the heck you want.
That's always been the case. I always thought that if I keep my bushwork, which I love, I'm oyster farming. A threat to my friends on the ocean, to Phil Glover and Ange Swank, really good hardworking crew. I love being on the ocean as dawn's breaking, even on the cold mornings. A few of them, but
as long as you're not in the ocean as dawn's breaking.
Yeah, well, sometimes we are too. We've got to get the waders on to get the oysters out. But look, it's. There is a freedom in being in my situation, in that I'm not particularly dependent on a wage on it, so I can write whatever I want. I've been writing for the Footy Almanac for 10 years, and for free again. I love it, and I can write whatever I want. If I'd taken up an offer from The Age years ago, I would have to write pretty much what they want me to, which is fine. But I write about footy because I love footy and I want to give something back, and I'm not necessarily after a wage. Now I've got a family, things might change. can't be quite so footloose and fancy free, but my wife understands the balance between passion and income beautifully. We're a great pair.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. Matt Zerbo is with me. He is an author. He's just finished writing a story a day for his daughter, Cielo, which you can find at cielo365stories.com. There's just an incredible array of children's stories to be read to your little one there. Matt has also played, as you said, 650 games of senior football. Now, you're playing in the Recklink Cup today. You're dodging aside from the Dodgers Ferry Sharks and playing in the Recklink Community Cup, which is a fundraiser between musicians and the media.
Now, that's where I met you.
Yeah, it's where we met, because you managed to figure out which artist had drawn the Spider-Man on my T-shirt, which I was very impressed by. So now you're playing for the media side?
I am playing for the media side. Yes, I am.
Now, as someone who has played 650 proper games of football, you get on this field with 36 absolute duffers. What is that like for you?
It's an absolute joy. It's there's no seriousness. There's no rah rah. There's no nervous poos. it's just people who love life, who are getting out and having fun. It's a novelty to most of them, which makes it a novelty to you. It's some of the most, between that and the Renegade League in Melbourne, which I used to double up on. I'd play in Tassie, and then on Sundays I'd play in the pub league in Melbourne when I was working on a book on the mainland. And and just musicians, some girls in the team, boys, a few people who can play, a lot who can't. There's music blaring across the oval. It's just a celebration of life. It's a great event, and anyone doing nothing on Sunday should come on down.
Now, at what,
for a good cause too.
At what percentage of your capacity are you playing? How much effort are you putting in the Recklink Cup game?
I noticed the commentators 2 years ago, it was interesting. For the people they knew, if they did something good, oh, Frenchie, what a legend, that was spectacular. People they didn't know, it was, oh, he's taking it a bit serious, isn't he? It was the exact same act. Look, who knows? I give it a good 2/3. I just want to have fun like everyone else. I want to laugh and help someone up no matter what team they're on, or get them to help me up when I fall down, which I do quite often.
I know all about the falling down on that field.
Yes, big man down.
I was certainly that 2 years ago. Mm. But, you know, my 4 minutes and 15 seconds of play were amongst the best minutes and 15 seconds of play ever done on that field, I'm
Glorious.
Sure.
Glorious. I say life's a series of moments. Just stop it in the first few minutes.
Matt Zerbo, lovely to meet you, and congratulations on finishing your year of writing.
Thank you very much, Joel. Thank you, everybody.